If you would turn with me to Exodus chapter 3 this morning, Exodus chapter 3. You should have received a handout when you came in this morning. If you did not, just raise your hand and someone will come along and bring that to you. So we got this beautiful lady in the front that needs one right there. That is my wife, by the way. Don't just call every lady beautiful. So a few people need that. Dwayne's coming around to bring that to you. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to begin to take a trip of observing some things about Moses' life that'll tell us some about intimacy with the Lord. And I know that we're kind of used to this now, but what usually happens when you're watching TV and there's a prescription drug advertisement? You know, you get about the first portion, maybe small portion, is how great this thing is that's going to resolve whatever health issue that you have. And then there's the stuff that comes after that. And we all know it's coming now, so we're not as surprised. We don't really fall for it as much. But remember when they used to come out, they always have these real serene scenes. You know, they're on the beach somewhere, or they're walking through the woods, and there's this calming music playing, and you're hearing all the description of something that you're suffering with, and they're saying, if you take this, that suffering will be gone. And part of us wants it, right? Because we want to be done with this pain health issue that we have, and so part of us wants it, but then they start telling us all the things that could happen to us if we take that prescription drug, right? And have you ever listened to, and even while they're saying those things, they're still playing this serene music and have this like peaceful scene, and some of the things that they're saying are, you're going to want to commit suicide, you're going to get cancer, and you're going to die. You're going to have impulsive rage and just like lose it on everybody and go to jail. And there's still this calm music going in the background while they're telling you all those things. And what's happening when we're listening to that commercial is we're weighing our options because we hear some positives and we hear some negatives. And if you've ever researched some of those medicines when you've seen those commercials, a lot of times what happens is all those risks happen to like 1% of people. So it's like a very unlikely chance that that will happen to you. And so then you're weighing your options of if this would actually resolve this issue that I really want resolved, and there's just a small chance of that, how much is the reward versus the loss? We do that when we get married. Anybody heard the term cold feet? Right? When you're about to get married. And the reason why someone has cold feet is because they don't know fully what to expect for a lifetime with this person. I mean, they're smitten with them, they love the person, but they don't know what this is going to look like for a lifetime, and then what they're doing in that moment is they're weighing the options. Does the good outweigh the bad? We do that with jobs, right? Have you ever sought to get a job, and then you thought, do I really want this job? I don't know if I want to work there, but if I work there, I'll have a job, I'll get paid, and there's some opportunity there, and we're weighing our options. We do that with every personal relationship we have. Do I really want to keep hanging out with this person? Do I really want to still be around this person, or do I want to stop hanging around them? And when we're doing that, we're weighing out the good versus the bad, because unfortunately, I don't know if you've come to know this, most experiences in life come with good and bad. Most experiences are mixed bags. We don't usually have everything that's perfect and flawless, and then we have to decide, are the positives worth risking the negatives? And this whole dynamic actually relates to our ability to have intimacy with the Lord. Because we might not know this, but when we're weighing out whether or not I should spend time with the Lord, and I know that none of us here have that issue. I know everyone in this room just spends hours and hours every day with the Lord, and there's no struggle in that. No, I'm looking like I'm seeing some faces saying that that's not the case, all right? And when we are choosing not to spend time or to spend time with the Lord, part of what we're doing is we're weighing the good and the bad of this. What will I lose if I do this? What will I gain if I do this? And there's certain dynamics that we're wrestling through. And we seek God, even though we don't really like to admit this, we seek God most of the time because we feel like there's something we can gain from seeking him. Even if it's just forgiveness, salvation, eternal life, or maybe we move into provisions or peace or comfort or dealing with my anxiety or relationship issues or provisions. We often come to him seeking something. In fact, he even invites us to do that. Did you know that? He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And so we come seeking him because there's things that we want. And we know that we can find those things in him. We know that we can receive that stuff when we seek him. But why don't we seek him to the degree that we should seek him? If we know that what we want is found in seeking Christ, then why aren't we seeking him, even though we do it to some degree at least? The very fact that you are sitting in this room today is an indication that to some degree you want God in your life. But to what degree do we want him in our lives? And there's going to be the struggle. Why is it that I have such a hard time completely surrendering myself over the Lord? Why is it I have so much time spending a lot of time in prayer? Because listen, there's a difference between, and there's degrees of this. We might come to church. We might say that five-minute prayer. You know how, like, if you ever in, like, a snowstorm and your car starts sliding, we start praying a lot in that moment, you know? Or we go to the doctor and we know that there might be some serious diagnosis. We're praying in that waiting room. But for some reason, at other times, we're not praying. And what would it take for us? How do we get ourselves to a place where we're not only spending a healthy amount of time every day seeking him, but we're enjoying doing that, and there's power in that? Because sometimes, I don't know if you've ever had prayer moments like this. All right, Lord, would you take care of this thing, and then this thing, and then let me check my list. This thing too, God, take care of that, and bless that guy over there. He irritates me, but bless him anyway. Bless that person, and fix this work situation, and thank you for this and that, and all right, see ya. And you might have spent 5, 10 minutes, maybe even 30 minutes doing that. But there wasn't power. There wasn't emotion in that. There wasn't connection in that. So how do we get to a place where we are passionately, consistently seeking the Lord? And I believe we're going to learn some insight on how to do that by the life of Moses, particularly today, his encounter with the burning bush. So will you look with me in Exodus chapter 3? And we're going to see certain realities that he encountered that led him to this intimacy with the Lord. And I want to comment before we start reading there. This is the Moses who fearlessly confronted Pharaoh. Do we remember the stories, right? Fearlessly confronted Pharaoh, did all these amazing miracles by God's enabling power before Pharaoh, and without concern for his own life, just kept going at Pharaoh, even though Pharaoh kept resisting him. I think it was 10 times Pharaoh kept resisting him. And he kept going after it. And he got Pharaoh to let them go. He parted the Red Sea. Again, God enabling him to do it. But he parted the Red Sea, led the Israelites through that Red Sea, and then got into the wilderness. He led some successful military campaigns. He was the guy who was God sent a pillar of cloud over the tent to sit in that tent and talk face to face with Moses. Moses was the one who said, I want to see you, and God allowed him to see him, unlike anybody else had really experienced to that point. Moses was the guy that was so close to him that when he came back to see the people, his face was shining from the glory of God. Moses was a man of the power of God and the intimacy of God. And how did he end up there? And we're going to find out how he ended up there, starting with the burning bush. Chapter 3 of Exodus, verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He, being Moses, looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out from the bush, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. Now we're going to stop there for a minute. Did you notice that it said that when Moses turned to look at the bush, God spoke to Moses? Now here's what happened, because this is Moses, he's a Jew, all right? and he knew of the Lord, and he had encounters with him. If you read chapter 2, this wasn't the start of Moses' journey with the Lord. He had encounters with the Lord, and so he knew that when there was this burning bush, he knew something supernatural was before him, coming from God. So he took interest in what God was doing. And when he took interest in what God was doing, God began to speak to him. And so it started with that, just having that interest in God. And like I said, you sitting in this room today is a starting point, at least, of you taking interest in God. And the more we start to take interest in God, what does the Bible say? Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. If we seek him, we will find him. If we seek for him with all of our heart, okay? So when we start to take an interest in him, he starts to speak to us. But something began to transpire here. Verse 5. Then he, being God, said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said to him, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. So notice what happens. Something from God is happening. Moses takes an interest and he starts to look at that bush. God begins to respond to him, and part of God's response is an expectation. You are on holy ground, and you need to do something with what you're wearing to do the right thing in my presence. And not only that, Moses' response was he hid from God. Now, we've seen this before in other encounters in Scripture, but Moses wants God, but now he's hiding from God. So does Moses actually want God in his life, or does he not want God in his life? And what we need to take note of is in chapter 2, because we might not realize this, Moses knew that God wanted him to do something. In fact, he knew he was a Jew. Remember, if you remember the story, he was an infant, and it was the time where the Egyptians were requiring the execution of the males that were born. And he was spared because of the way his family attempted to protect him. And he ended up being raised in Pharaoh's household, okay? So he was kind of adopted into the Egyptian household. But he still was aware that he was a Jew. And we see that when he begins to encounter other Jews. And he gets frustrated with the injustice that's done to his people. And he begins to fight against that injustice. In fact, he even kills a guy to fight against that injustice because he knew that he was given special circumstances that were an opportunity for him to do something about the injustice. And then when things kind of went the wrong way, he, at this point, is in Midian. That's not in Egypt. He ran away from what God was wanting him to do, and he went somewhere else. And if we don't think that this isn't what he's hiding from, you know what the first thing God begins to tell him to do when he starts having this encounter? Verse 7, then the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians and to bring them out to that land, to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey." And then he talks about the people that are going to encounter. And behold, the cry of the people of Israel, verse 9, has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Verse 10, come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Do you know why Moses was hiding from God? Because he didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. God had expectations. Moses wanted God in his life. He wanted to encounter the supernatural. He wanted to experience God's presence. He wanted to receive the benefits that God had for him. But he didn't want to have to do certain things that God wanted him to do. And it's not unreasonable that he didn't want to do those things, because what we saw in these statements is the call for him was to deal with suffering and hardship, that he was called to confront not only Pharaoh, but he was called to confront, did you notice that there in verse 8, he was going to be confronting the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. He was going to have to go into war. He was going to have military conflict, and he knew that God was expecting these things of him. And here's the truth about why many of us keep God at arm's length, is because we know that God expects some things of us. But we don't want the expectations. We just want all the benefits. And so we avoid, maybe subconsciously, I don't know, we avoid being close to him because we know he might tell us to stop doing that thing that maybe we just did again yesterday. We know that he might tell us to start treating that person differently. We know he might ask us to go share our faith with someone, to get involved in ministry. He might call me to be consistently involved in the body of Christ. He might call me to study his word on a regular basis. And we know that he raises expectations, so I'm going to keep God at arm's length, whether it's in the form of I'm not going to pray that much, or I'm going to make sure when I do pray, I'm doing all the talking. Okay, I'm going to tell him what he needs to do, and he needs to take care of what I'm concerned with, and then I'm going to make sure I end this thing real quick before he starts talking back. Because I want what I want. I don't really want him to put any expectations on me. And when we're wrestling with our intimacy with the Lord, many times, not all the times, and I think with Moses we'll discover some other reasons why there's a strain, but sometimes the reason why we're struggling to be intimate with him is because we don't want all of him. We just want parts of him. You've ever heard that line, friends with benefits? Ladies, if you have a guy that you're in a relationship with and he doesn't want to get married, there's a reason why he doesn't want to get married. He doesn't want any expectations placed on him. He wants all the benefits, but he doesn't want any of the commitment. And many people are like that with the Lord. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me all the stuff. But where are we when he says, here's what I need you to do? But he's asking us to do things at times that are hard, that are difficult. That's why we're avoiding it. And so then what do we do? What do we do when we realize that there's things that I don't want to do? And mind you, sometimes it's that to spend time with him, I'm going to have to spend some time away from this thing. Or to spend time with him, I'm going to have to actually decide not to keep my house as clean as I would like it to be. To spend time with him, I might have to actually decide to do something that's not as stimulating for me as some other activity. And when we want to have intimacy with him, we have to recognize that the reason why we don't feel as close is because we're keeping him at arm's length. So once we discover that, then what needs to happen in the conversation? Well, that's what we begin to land. And here's going to be the painful thing, and we see Moses begin to do this. Moses starts to talk about his feelings. And I know that for many of us guys, that's not the easiest thing to do, to talk about how we feel, especially when the feelings might be insecurity or hurt feelings and those kind of things. We need to tough it up, right? Toughen up and just get to work and don't be such a crybaby. And yet here's Moses talking, a man of God, talking about his feelings. And here's some of the feelings he expresses. Maybe we would relate to some of them. And not that he'd cover all of them, but in chapter 3, verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? So Moses begins to express his feelings of inadequacy. I don't deserve to do this. I can't do this. How many of us have been asked to serve in some role of ministry, and we thought, I don't deserve to do this. I'm not capable of doing this, or we're called to witness, or we're called to study the Bible, or any number of things, and we feel like I'm not adequate, I'm not good enough to do these things. And Moses is saying that. And when we're struggling with that, this is how you talk. Because I don't know if I've had people tell me this. I don't know what to say. You know, like I know I'm supposed to spend time with him, but I don't know what to say. You know what you say? What's your feeling? Whatever it is you're feeling, wrestling with, concerned about, tell him. God, I don't feel good about who I am. Or, chapter 3, verse 13, he says, then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Moses isn't sure what he's supposed to do next. Have you ever been there before? You know, I'm not really sure what to do next. I know the end goal. I don't know what to do next. And so he asked him, God, I have no idea what I'm doing. Have you ever been in a family crisis situation and you're trying to do everything to figure it out and you reach the moment where you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't have any answers. I don't know how to resolve this. Or you have some sin issue in your life that you're trying to overcome and you've done different things to overcome it and you're still struggling with it and you reach that point of, I don't know what to do. Or you're dealing with health issues or emotional issues or financial issues and you're trying to get them resolved and you get to a point where I don't know what to do. Have you ever been there before? Okay. This is what ignites a prayer life, is when we are struggling, when we are in pain, come to God and start talking to him about it out loud. God, I don't know what to do with this. It hurts me. I don't feel adequate. I don't feel deserving. And I don't know what to do. Then chapter 4, skip over to there. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Moses answered, behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. Have you ever been afraid to fail? Have you ever been fearful of, I don't know what the outcome is going to be of this? And there's Moses, God saying, go do this thing. And Moses is thinking, I don't know how this is going to go. This could go poorly. I feel insecure about my future here. I don't know what's going to happen. And listen, sometimes what we choose to do with that is, I guess I'm just going to have to just get through it and do it. Or sometimes I'm just going to avoid it because I don't want to experience that, so I'm not going to do it. And we miss the opportunity to connect with the Lord. It's at that moment that we need to stop what we're doing and get alone with God and say, God, I don't know what to do, and I have no idea what to do next. Will you help me out here? And we open ourselves up to him. And listen, this is when I've felt the most intimate with the Lord, is when I just pour out every bit of my heart to him. And we're seeking intimacy, and we're saying we want to be intimate with the Lord, but when we have all these issues, we just toughen up and deal with it, rather than saying, Lord, I invite you into all of this. Help me. I don't know what to do. And then his fourth response, chapter 4, verse 10. But the Lord said to Moses, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Have you ever felt insecure about your abilities? And there's Moses saying, I don't feel secure about what I'm able to do, Lord. I don't talk well, and you're asking me to talk well. And in fact, I know, I've heard from some of you, I know God wants me to witness, but I'm introverted and shy. I know God wants me to be involved in ministry, but I don't know how to do ministry type things. And we don't feel secure about our abilities. And we go into problem solving mode, or we decide to try to avoid the problem, missing that this is the opportunity that I can gain the intimacy with the Lord that I've been seeking. By stopping in this moment, every time I have a feeling, good or bad, I begin to talk out loud to the Lord. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm wrestling with. And look what Moses is getting here. He's getting encounter with God. God's talking back to him in a good sense, I guess. God's talking back to him. He begins to experience things because he's pressing in and saying, this is who I am. This is what I'm feeling. But listen, I understand it's hard because not really any of us feel comfortable. I mean, who of us is going to go up and start talking to someone and say, hi, I feel really inadequate as a person? And I'm really insecure, and I don't know about my future, and I don't know what I'm doing in life. How many of us feel great about that conversation? Especially us guys. You know, we don't like talking about that. But the pain of talking through our emotions is what results on the other side of finding intimacy with the Lord. And that's the mixed bag. We have the prescription drug ahead of us that is offering solutions, but it has a bunch of side effects to it. And some of the side effects of intimacy with the Lord is having to do some things that we're not comfortable with, having to talk about things that we don't feel comfortable talking about, and we have to weigh the options. Is what we will gain at the other side of that conversation worth the pain and the awkwardness and the uncomfortability of those moments? Because I'm telling you, from my own personal experience, you are going to find glorious, intimate, powerful relationships with the Lord if we're willing to talk through everything that we have going on. Now be careful talking through things with the Lord, because if you're walking down the street and you start saying, yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah, you think that too? Yeah, I don't know. Someone might think you're a little crazy. So just be careful how you're doing that. But find an opportunity to talk things through with the Lord. And then maybe to help us see some of the benefits, here's the results of what happened when Moses had this conversation. First, every time Moses gave a response of his concerns, God gave him reasons why he needs to be assured that everything's okay. The first issue that he had in chapter 3, verse 12, this is what God said to him. He said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Now, one thing interesting to note, he says, I will give you a sign. Do you know when that sign comes? After he does something first, right? After you go ahead and do it, then you will get the sign. So many times God calls us to walk by faith and do something first before he shows up and gives the assurance. But he tells him, I will be with you. But he heard it. You know when he heard it? When he expressed that he wasn't sure of that. And we are looking for encouragement from God, but we're just hoping it'll just show up, rather than just saying, Lord, here's my concern, here's my feeling. And when we express that, that's when God gives us the word of encouragement that we need. Then his second response in chapter 3, verse 14, God said, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So Moses wasn't sure what to do next. And you know what God did when Moses expressed and admitted, I don't know what to do next? He showed him what to do next. Now, like God is many times, he did not give him the whole plan. Have you ever noticed that with God? When we say, Lord, I don't know what to do next, God says, just do this next. Okay, but can you tell me the whole plan for the next week and tell me how it's all going to work out? Because I just need to know the whole plan. And God doesn't usually do that. He just says, here's the next step. But he tells us the next step. And I can't tell you how many times, in fact, I just experienced this recently. I was praying through a health thing that I've been trying to figure out in life. It's been, you know, for a long time. And I was praying, Lord, just give me some guidance on what to do with this. I'm watching some video and an ad pops up about that health issue. And then I go and look into that ad, and that wasn't really the answer I was looking for, but I picked up some things from it that stirred me to investigate. And I began to discover something that looks like it's having a benefit to me. And you know how that I discovered that? It was just coincidental. It was just accidental that I ran into that. No, it's when we start to ask God and tell him, I don't know what I'm doing. Please give me some guidance and show me. And I bet many of you have stories in which you have said that, and all of a sudden someone showed up and said, hey, I was wondering if you needed help with, and they give you the advice that you needed to hear. And if we don't pay attention, we might miss that God showed up and showed us what to do. But how many times do we slip in the problem-solving mode where everything's falling apart, and I got to figure this out, and we never stop and say, all right, Lord, I don't want to know what to do. Please show me what to do. And then his third response to him when he was struggling with his fear of failure in chapter 4, verse 2, God responds this way. Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. Now, we might want to laugh at this story, but any of you run into a cobra snake and like, sure, I'll grab a hold of its tail, okay? I'm not interested in grabbing a hold of that tail. I don't know about you. And so Moses like runs because there's a snake in front of him. And then verse 4, but the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it by the tail, and it became a staff in his hand. And then the next story accounts where he puts his hand in his cloak and pulls it out leprous, puts it back in, pulls it out, and it's healed. And what God does is God begins to do something in his life to help him to see that God's working in his life, that God's power is there. Sometimes it comes in the way of God reminding us of things he's done in the past that showed us that he is faithful and he's with us and will carry it through. How many of us can testify of moments that God has been faithful to us and carried us through? And sometimes when it's going badly, we forget about all of that. And when we feel like we're all alone and it's falling apart and God has abandoned us, then in that moment, if we're feeling it, that's the time to pray. And we start to say, God, this is how I feel. And it's only, God didn't give him the answers when he wouldn't express his concerns. It was only when Moses expressed his concerns out loud to God that God began to give the answers. And God gave him the assurance that it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And then his fourth concern, this is how God responds to his concern that he's not able to do this. Chapter 4, verse 11, he says, "Then the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall speak.'" So he's telling them, as Moses is saying, I don't talk well. And God points out, wait a minute. So if I'm going to come alongside and help you, and I'm the one that made everybody capable of talking, you're concerned that you're not going to be able to do this? And he reminds them of his power that's available in his life. And sometimes we need to hear that. And you know when we hear it? When we're in problem-solving mode and we're just trying to figure it out and we're running for our lives. No. When we hear God speak to us is when we choose to come to him and admit, this is how I feel, this is what I'm going through, this is what I'm struggling with. And listen, cry it out, yell it out. God can take your yelling, you know that? I'm not saying there's not going to be correction at some point in there, but everything you're feeling, take it to the Lord. That's when God shows up. And so if we're struggling with intimacy with God, ask ourselves, are we taking our whole selves to him? Are we seeking him with everything that's going on in our lives? We're missing so many opportunities for God to speak to us, encourage us, change us, and be close to us. But then, the other thing that happens that results from this conversation is we begin to discover some truths about ourselves. What I thought was interesting is Moses' first concern. I don't know if you caught this. He has four concerns before he gives his fifth and final one. His first concern, he felt inadequate. Okay? Insecure. And then he offers two other concerns after that. And then his fourth concern is, I feel insecure and inadequate, and here's why. Did you find that interesting? His same concern that he started with, he lands back on that same concern again. But there is one difference. You know what the difference was? He realized why he felt that way. He was insecure, and whether it was he didn't know why, and then through this conversation he realized why he feels that way. You know why there's power in knowing why I feel that way? Because then I know what to do with it. Then I know what problem needs to be addressed. Then I know how to find the solution and overcome it if I know the why. And many times we don't know the why because we're not talking through what we're feeling with the Lord. And when we talk it through, all of a sudden we discover, oh. And I don't know if you've had those moments. I've had many moments like that with the Lord where I'm talking it through and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, that's what's going on with me. And sometimes it feels great. Other times it doesn't feel so great. But we discover it because we press in. Or maybe he knew the whole time. But even if he knew the whole time, you know what this experience did? It made him fess up to it. Have you ever known something about yourself, but you didn't want to admit it? Not even to yourself. Not even for a moment. But it's through talking it through with the Lord that all of a sudden you're backed into a corner where now there's nowhere else to go other than say, you know what? Actually, this is how I feel. And sometimes how I feel is, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to be nice to that person. I don't want to be around that guy. I don't want to serve. I don't want to help out with this stuff. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to pray. And I know many of you are saying, I can't believe Pastor's suggesting any of us ever think like that. I'm sure more of you think like that than you care to admit. But again, we don't want to admit it to ourselves. Like, I want to pray. I just don't have enough time. I want to go to church. I'm just uncomfortable with people. I want to study the Bible. I don't understand it. And maybe some of those things are true, but I think most of the time those things are smoke screens to the real reason. We don't want to do it. In fact, that's exactly what Moses realized, what his motives actually were. Do you know what his fifth pushback was? Chapter 4, verse 13. Listen to this. So he tells them, listen, I'm not adequate. I don't deserve to do this. Then he tells them, I don't know what to do. You don't want me. I don't know what to do. And then he tells them that, well, I don't know how this is going to go. Then he tells them, well, but look what I'm not capable of. You don't want me. And God gives them an answer, a solution to all of that. And you know what Moses finally says in verse 13? But he said, oh, my Lord, please send someone else. Because he wasn't concerned about his fears and his abilities and all that stuff. He didn't want to go. And it was in talking it through with the Lord that he got stuck in a position where he had to admit what he really felt. And the good news, even though that might be a painful experience, the good news is that's when we start to realize the solution. That's when we have to confess and repent. My heart's not good, Lord. I don't really care about the things that I should care about. And we might say, well, I shouldn't say that. Have you ever met those people that think that everything you say will guaranteed happen? Have you ever met that? I've had times that my allergies are going crazy, and I might have a cold, might not, but everything's just horrible up here. And someone says, how are you doing? Oh, I have all this congestion and this stuff. And they're like, don't say that because then it'll happen. And I'm like, it's already happening before I said it. I don't know how this works. But some people are like that don't say it. But listen, if you feel that way, say it out loud. If you don't feel like worshiping, say it. I don't feel like worshiping. If you don't feel like witnessing, say it. I don't feel like witnessing. If you don't feel like praying, studying your Bible, serving in ministry, being kind to others, all those different things, tell God, I don't feel like doing that. And I think the reason why we don't like to really say that out loud is, one, we don't want to admit we're that kind of person, right? But secondly, we're afraid that he's going to actually give us a solution to this. And it's somehow, it's kind of like, this is where I try to imitate God in this. Have you ever had conversations with me where I'm like, you should be involved in this, and you're like, I can't be involved in this, I get this and that, and I find a way to get you involved anyway. Have you ever had those kind of, I know, Aaron, yes. God is like that. God is like that. You start getting in an argument with God, and before you know it, you're doing what he wants you to do anyway. And we know he's like that. And so we choose not to have the conversation. And we're missing so much power and intimacy and the glory of God in our lives because we're not willing to go there. How did Moses become the kind of man that he did? Do you know what kind of prophet he became? He became the picture of what the Messiah would be. Because it said of Moses, a prophet will be raised up like Moses. That's how much God worked in his life. And why did that happen? Because when Moses was a mess and insecure and didn't know what to do, he talked it out with God. And God did amazing things through him. Then we end up experiencing God's work in our lives. And some of this is great and some of this is a little challenging. In chapter 4, verse 14, it says, then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. One of the things that we end up realizing when we have these conversations with God is sometimes we realize that God is mad at us. And is it true that God loves us and forgives us and wants us and all those things? Yes, but sometimes we emphasize those things to the exclusion of the reality that sometimes God's not actually happy with us. And when we're willing to have these conversations, we realize the things that God isn't happy with us about. And again, sometimes that's the reason why, because you know what's hard? I think that's sometimes why people will pray, but they won't go to church or read their Bible. Because if I pray, it's easier for me to assume if any kind of conflicting thoughts come in my head, I'm like, that's the enemy. That's the enemy telling me that I'm not doing the right things. That's the devil. But then we come across it in Scripture that clearly says God doesn't want you to do this. It's harder to argue with that. When we go into Christian fellowship and other Christians are saying, you should be doing this and we don't want to do it, it's harder to argue with that. But when we're just praying, it's easier to say, yeah, I think that was the devil. You know what's scary? Is sometimes we're calling what is the devil, we're calling God's voice the devil. Because God at times is angry with us. And if we're willing to get vulnerable with him and admit all of these things, we might discover what he's angry about. We also might discover why we're avoiding the conversation, because we discover what we need to change to be pleasing to him, and many of us, we don't want to change those things. I don't want to spend less time on this thing. I like looking at ridiculous, useless videos over and over and over and over and over again. I like wasting my time playing video games. I like hiding from everybody all the time and never making any human connection. I should be talking to your kid. Paul's ratting somebody else out here right now. But if we want the life, the hope, the power that God brings, we have to be willing to talk these things through with him and deal with the expectations that might surface. But here's something that's interesting to happen. Because I used to have you ever read a story and then you read it again and you're like, I kind of messed up that story. And I kind of missed the detail there. Okay? I think there was a time that it was my impression that Moses suggested that Aaron should be the one to help him. But you know what's interesting? In chapter 4, verse 14, you know who's talking when it says he said? God's talking, not Moses. Moses didn't bring up Aaron at all. Okay? God's talking. You know what God says? Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth and will teach you both what to do. Do you know what God did there? Moses was really having a hard time with doing this. He just really, whether it was he had excuses or whether it just he didn't want to do it, he was really having a hard time doing this. And God was mad. God expected Moses to do it. But you know what God did? God gave him a crutch anyway. God said, you know what? Fine. You're having a hard time with this? I'm going to give you the ability to do it, even though I'm having to compromise here and not do the ideal. And you know what's great to know about God? Is when we're struggling and we're not doing what we should do, God gives us a way that's not ideal to be able to do the thing that he calls us to do. Because you know what's amazing about this? You know who did all the talking to Moses? Or to Moses. I just ruined the answer. You know who did all the talking to Pharaoh? It wasn't Aaron. It was Moses. You know who displayed all the power? It wasn't Aaron. It was Moses. When you get into the wilderness, you know who does all the talking and the leading the power? It wasn't Aaron. You know who it was? Moses. But how did he get there? By God being gracious enough to give him a crutch to be able to get through his own personal issues to get there. But how did he get the crutch? By working it out with the Lord, by talking it through with him. And then, but he didn't just give him a crutch. You know what he said in verse 17? And take in your hand this staff with which you shall do the signs. He still empowers him and says, you are going to be able to do great things. Which you? The one who was refusing to do it. The one who was trying to find every excuse in the book to not do it. That's the person whose God is going to display his power through. And why was he willing to do that? Because he was perfect? No, Moses wasn't perfect. Because Moses was powerful? Because Moses was all wise? No, because Moses was willing to talk it out with God. And that's how we find intimacy with him. That do you want your own burning bush experience? Do you want to see God's power displayed in your life? Do you want to have confidence and assurance to face any fearful, frightening problem that you have before you? Do you want to have so much intimacy with God that the pillar of cloud overcomes you and you experience so much glory of God that your face begins to shine? Do you want to have that? Then you have to be willing to let all your issues right out in front of him and talk it out before him. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? How much do you want this? We're here because we believe this in part, right? To one degree or another, the reason why we're in this room is we believe that God has answers, that God has solutions. But there's something in us that keeps holding us back from going all in. And what is it that is making it hard for you? Is it that you really don't want to accept all that comes with following the Lord? The expectations, the pain, the struggle, the hardship, maybe even the rejection from others at times. The times where you are called to have to make faith actions that you have no idea what's coming next, but you're called to move forward anyway and face your fears. Is it these type of things that are keeping you from going all in? I'm telling you, it's worth it. There might be all kinds of side effects from following the Lord, but the benefits outweigh the side effects. What is it that's keeping you from pressing in? Are you not comfortable with talking about your feelings, your hurts, your past experiences, your concerns that you're more afraid of because you don't even want to say them out loud because you're afraid it'll give you more anxiety? Is that what's keeping you from seeking the Lord and giving everything over to him? What is holding you back? Are you afraid of facing yourself? Are you afraid of discovering that you'll find out things about you that you don't want to know or admit? What is holding you back? We might not have a literal burning bush right before us today, but we can have a burning bush experience with the Lord. And what Moses did was he turned to look at that bush, and God began to do something in his life. And right now, at this moment, is an opportunity for you to turn to your burning bush by coming down to this altar and facing whatever it is you're dealing with and whatever it is he has for you. Don't hold back from receiving what God has for you. And so if you're willing, whether that means you have to push through awkwardness, struggle, or pain, there is something great on the other side of that. And so if you need that today, if you need the Lord to help you with your intimacy with him, then come and seek him. I'm convinced you're going to find your burning bush today. Seek him, if you would.
I love this. I normally don't say anything before playing a song, but what's amazing about this is this moment was on God's heart. When Joe was preparing the worship set, he didn't know that Pastor was going to be preaching that message. And this song, called Nothing Else, is the most intimate moment you could have with Jesus, if you allow it. And maybe you're struggling to tell the Lord what's on your mind. Maybe you don't have the words. The words to this song is a great place to start. So just allow yourself to surrender everything and come to the altar.
Caught up in your presence, I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you,
and I'm sorry.
I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry
when I've just gone through the motions.
When I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you.
Don't miss this part, church. Don't miss this part.
I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do.
If you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a moment. We read when we started this service that the Lord sees those who are afflicted. No one else might not know what you're struggling with and going through. No one else may know the thoughts that go through your head. But the Lord sees you right now in this moment. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, you would say, I didn't come forward. I really, really, really need the Lord to intervene in my life. Whether it's I'm in a hard place in my heart, mind, or I've got circumstances I'm dealing with, but I really, really need the Lord to intervene in my life. And if that's you, heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to pray with you in this moment. Would you lift your hand to indicate that's what prayer need you have? Okay, good, good. Anybody else? Good. Okay, good. Several hands. Anybody else? Good. Good. The Lord sees you. He sees you. He doesn't just see hands. He sees you and everything that's going on inside of you. And so, Lord, we ask in this moment that you would help those that are asking you to intervene in their lives to hear your voice. Help them to have the boldness to push in and ask all the questions without regard of, Lord, how are you going to take this? What might you ask of me? What is this going to say about myself? But Lord, help them to be bold to just expose, Lord, everything that's in their hearts and minds to you. Give them the freedom to experience that before you. And I ask, Lord, that as they do that, just like you did with Moses, that you would rush in and talk with them. You would give them answers, that you would give them guidance, that you would give them correction. But Lord, that they would encounter you, that you would intervene in their lives. And we ask, Lord, that you would help all of us to do that. You said that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. So then help us to press in. You said that when we seek you, we will find you. When we seek you with all our heart. So Lord, help us to get the hunger again, the fire again, the zeal, the passion, to seek you, Lord, with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And And we ask you would continue to be at work in our lives. When we leave this place, Lord, I ask that we would still continue to seek you, whether we're in the car, whether we're at home, whether we're at work, whether we're outside, inside. Lord, we ask that you would give us the hunger to seek you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to conclude with this. If my altar team would come forward to prepare to pray with some people. So Cindy and John and Heather and George. Peter said that if we repent, then we will receive the Holy Spirit and times of refreshing will come. Paul instructed the Ephesians to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we mistake what this is to be a one-time experience with the Lord. But how many know that sometimes we go through dry times with the Lord? We go through times where we're not feeling it, we're not connected. Maybe we were filled with the Holy Spirit at some point. Maybe we experienced the gifts of the Holy Spirit at some point. But we're not there right now. We can ask again, Lord, fill us again. Fill us to overflowing, Lord. Give us times of refreshing. Lord, baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Consume us. And so if you need that this morning, as we conclude and as people begin to leave, you begin to find your way to see one of these individuals and they want to pray that the Holy Spirit would come upon your life. And I believe that something great will happen in you. But all it takes is for us to draw near to him. So I love you. Thank you so much for being here today. I hope you'll join us next week as we keep seeing what God's doing in Moses' life. Hopefully that happens in ours. But again, if you need prayer to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then come and seek him. Let one of these altar workers pray with you. So thank you, worship team, as you lead us. But God bless you.